Good morning, church. Hope everybody's doing well this morning. It's been a beautiful time already being with you guys. It's always beautiful to see Ethan's beard. Me and Ethan shared a good time just a few weeks ago in India together. And I think we were the only ones that came back that didn't have E. coli. At least we don't think so yet. But the rest of the team did. I don't know what they ate or what it was, but they did. My same prayer this morning is the same prayer of what they just sang about, the fact that we trust in God. In God that we all trust. Trust in Him for our salvation. We trust in Him in our prayers. We trust in Him in our going. We trust in Him in any and all things. And we thank Him for any and all blessings that He gives us, including that, the freedom that we have in the United States, but also the freedom, the responsibility that comes with that freedom, and that is the responsibility of taking the gospel to anybody and everybody, starting right here to around the ends of the earth. And we should not shrink in that responsibility. We should not scale back our responsibility to that. And that's what I want to talk to you guys today is, do not shrink in your boldness. Do not shrink in your boldness. If you guys don't mind, will you please pray with me? God, I thank You so much for being a God who is so good. You looked down on us, and while we were still sinning, You sent Your Son Jesus to die on the cross for me, for all of us in here, and for all of everybody outside of these walls. For these 100+ children that came to VBS this week, for all of the workers who helped out, Lord, You died for all of them. Well, for those who have fought for the freedom that we have in the United States, and those who have fought for others' souls around the world that do not know You as Lord and Savior and have never heard. But Lord, it didn't stop there. You didn't stop there. And I'm so thankful it didn't stop with You dying on the cross, Lord. You were in the tomb for 3 days, and on that third day You rose again so that we can all have that forgiveness that we can't understand, we can't comprehend, because it's so great. And that love that You showed us through that is so amazing, we cannot fully describe it with the words that we have in our language. But God, I pray for the rest of the time this morning, the next 25 or so minutes, that if there's anything that comes out of my mouth that is not consistent with Your Word or what You want me to say, I pray that You mute it from the people's minds and they do not hear it. But Lord, I pray that You increase and I decrease, and that Your words are made clearer than ever before for those who need to hear it this morning. I pray that Your Word just pops out on these pages so that we can truly see and understand that You are the way, the truth, and the life. And the only way that we can have salvation is through You, and confessing You before others, repenting of our sins, putting our trust in You. So God, I thank You so much for the privilege of being able to talk about who You are, not just at this point, at this place, but all around the world. I thank You, Jesus. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, I thank you so much for letting me come back again to spend some quality time with you guys this morning. I'm looking forward to spending some time with you guys this evening as well. We're going to talk about do not shrink in your boldness for Christ. And when you come back tonight, we're going to talk about some practical applications in that and some of the things that the BCM has done and is going to continue to do. And I encourage you to come back for that if you have the opportunity to be able to do so. If you don't mind, turn with me to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verses 19 through 21. And if you don't have your Bible or you don't have an app to pull up on your phone, it should be on the screen there in front of you as well. Acts chapter 20, verses 19 through 21. This is going to be the basis of the text this morning. We're going to jump around a couple different places, but it will all be founded on these three verses here for the most part. Acts chapter 20, verses 19 through 21. 21 says this: serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials which come upon me through the plots of the Jews, how did I not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. This is my challenge. If you hear anything today, this is my challenge to you. If you are a child of God in this house today, do not shrink. Do not become cowardice. Do not become scared in the gospel that God has entrusted to each and every one of us. Contain the boldness that He has given each and every one of us. Do not shrink from that boldness that He inherently gives us whenever we surrender our lives to Jesus. Be bold for Jesus is what I'm talking about today. Be bold for Him no matter who comes before you, no matter who's beside you, no matter who's behind you, no matter where you are, in the car, in an airplane, walking down the street, in your house, in your neighborhood, in the Walmart, no matter where it is. Let me challenge you, as I'm challenging myself, be bold for Jesus. If you remember anything, remember that. If you start to fall asleep in a couple of minutes, remember that. Be bold for Jesus. And where do I get that? Acts chapter 20, verses 19 through 21. Do not shrink. Do not become cowardice. Be bold for Jesus no matter what may happen. Always testify to anybody, it says Jews and Greeks, but anybody, of the repentance towards God in faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because that is the only way that we can have salvation. That is the only way that we can live a life fully unto God. That is the only way that we can have a life that is truly fulfilling. We can find it, we can look for it in money, we can look for it in things, but the only way to truly have a fulfilling life is in Jesus Christ and living for Him and being bold for Him. I am so, you guys, in my opinion, are so lucky next week. Those of you guys, I think some of you know Marty Brock. He's coming next week. You guys are going to be blessed by getting to hear him. I actually am very blessed. I get to hear him on Wednesdays whenever I'm not speaking somewhere else. He is the associate pastor at Exciting Southeast, and that's where I serve at in Pryor area, Tahlequah area as well. And I get to hear him a lot of Wednesdays, and I have learned greatly from him. He's also my pastor's mentor. Rob Pierce is my pastor. I don't know if he's been down here or not, but I've learned a lot from him. I've learned a lot of from his joy. So you guys are going to be blessed next week to be able to hear him. And I was talking to him just the other day, and we kind of told each other what we were going to be talking about. And I'm telling you, it's going to be good stuff. But it kind of piggybacks off of what I'm going to be talking about today. So it's a beautiful thing how the Lord just works some of these things together. Because He works all of these things together for our good, because we're called according to His purpose. Because He wants it to work all together for His name and His glory. He wants to be famous. Not us be famous, but Him be famous. He wants us to be bold so His name is great, not so that my name or your name is great. He wants to be the one that receives the glory because of and due to and through our boldness. For the glory of God and advancement of the gospel, are you willing to do these 9 following things? For the glory of God and the advancement of His gospel, are you willing to do these following 9 things? Number 1, are you willing, am I willing, are we willing to look silly? Are we willing to look silly? Number 2, are we willing to be laughed at? Are we willing to be laughed at? And I'm asking myself these questions. I'm investigating. Am I willing to be this or to be that? Am I willing, are we willing to look silly? Are we willing to be laughed at? 3, are we willing to be mocked? Be honest with yourself. Are we willing to be mocked? Number 4, are you willing to never see your family again? Are you willing to never see your family again? Number 5, are you willing to go to jail? Are you willing to go to jail? Number 6, are you willing to be beaten? Number 7, are you willing to see your brothers and sisters in Christ be beaten? Number 8, are we willing to be killed? Are we willing to lose our lives for the sake of the gospel? Number 9, are you willing to see those you love be killed for the sake of the gospel? Obviously, from not so crazy, but to extremely crazy, right? Not so intense things to extremely intense things. Seeing family and loved ones, nobody wants to think of things like that. But it starts at number 1. We don't have to jump all the way to number 9. Sometimes we go straight to, am I willing to see my wife be killed in a place that is hostile to the gospel, that is illegal to have the gospel? Thought runs through my mind. But also, am I going to be accountable to number 1 as well? Am I willing to look silly for the cause of the gospel? Am I willing to look as though I'm a silly person to those who do not believe? Let's read Acts chapter 20, 19 through 21. Once again, serving the Lord with all humility, it's not about us, and with tears and with trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink, no matter what, we're not falling back, did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable. and teaching you publicly from house to house, solemnly testifying to both the Jews and the Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Are we willing to not shrink in the boldness of the gospel? I had the opportunity to serve in sub-Saharan Africa several years ago, almost 10 years ago now. And we were going through an orientation time in Johannesburg, South Africa. And during that orientation time, we had a couple of leaders in the Nebraska area, collegiate ministry actually, Nebraska area, come and they did some training with us. And I remember one particular time that stood out very clearly to me, and they went through those 9 points. Are you willing to look silly? And all the way up to the point, are you willing to see your friends sitting beside you die for the gospel of Christ? And that's the first time that I really let it sink in. Am I actually willing to look to the world to be a foolish person? Am I willing to do that to the extreme? And I thought to myself, and I really prayed through that. And at that point in time, I decided within myself, Lord, yes. At that point in my life, yes, I am willing to do that. Now, are there times in my life where I fall back from that and I get scared from that? Absolutely. Don't think of me or anybody else any higher than you ought. Trust me. I am a sinner saved by God's beautiful grace, sent out to share that beautiful news with other sinners that can be saved by that beautiful grace. But it was interesting. A lot of us gathered together. We talked about that for several hours that day and the next day. And the following day, I think it was a Friday, it was towards the end of our orientation, we got a message from everybody that we're going to the airport. We weren't scheduled to go to the airport. We were scheduled a down day. So we all went to the airport, and there were 3 people. That said, I am not willing. They were honest with themselves. Does that make them not Christian? Absolutely not. Does that mean they don't love Jesus? Absolutely not. But 3 people said, I can't do it. I'm not willing to die for the gospel. And they flew back home and spent their allotted time there to be in sub-Saharan Africa, back home serving the Lord in other areas. Does that make them less of a Christian? No, I don't think so. I think it helps us we need to be honest with who we are. We need to have that introspection within ourselves to see where we are within Jesus and where He is calling us to. But I think we all need to come to the point to we need to say, Lord, no matter what, I am Yours. I will go. I will be Yours no matter what. Help me, Lord, not to shrink in the calling that You have given each and every one of us as disciples to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in such a way that those others that You are discipling can do the exact same thing. We must be willing to live. We must be willing to live without the confidence of comfort. We must be willing to live without the confidence of comfort. We must follow Christ without hesitation. That's what He wants us. He wants each and every little ounce of us. We must follow Christ without hesitation, no matter the subject or object before us. And each and every one of us have those subjects or objects before us that keep us from following Him wholeheartedly, no matter what it is. We must be intentional in not allowing ourselves to put objects or subjects that will keep us from being used in the future as well. So maybe there's not a stumbling block before us right now. Maybe there's not this one thing or our pet sin or whatever it may be. Maybe it's not there right now, but we don't set ourselves up for failure in the future saying, oh, we'll push that to the side. I'll push that to the side again. I'll sweep it under the rug. I'll put it in the closet. And then whenever you feel like you are the most vulnerable and able to be used by God anywhere, then that happens to rear its ugly head back at you. And then you have to deal with it again. Don't allow any objects or subjects to be in the way of however God wants to use you. Because remember, it's not about you. It's about God. It's all about God and about what He wants to use us for so that all people can come to know Him and praise His name. Do not shrink in your Christian calling. Be workers of the harvest. Do not shrink in your Christian calling. Be workers of the harvest. There's a story that I read out of a book. I can't remember the book, but it was a story of a pastor. They're in South Asia. I believe they were near Bangladesh. And it was a pastor. They weren't allowed to meet publicly because they weren't a registered church. And so pastor and several leaders and some church members, they came to this one lady's house. It was a lady that just became a Christian a few months before. And they all gather up in this house. They go down to the basement and they began to get together and to study the Word. And they had a strong desire just to study the Word. Then they went into a time of prayer. And as they were in this time of prayer, the lady that just became a Christian a couple weeks before wanted to be bold in her faith when she gave her life to Jesus. And she began to be persecuted, made fun of by her family, slapped by her husband, beaten, what all of those different things that can lead to all different types of persecution. And so they started the prayer time, and she began to pray. And they went around the room, and it was probably about this size from the piano over to the drums, that they were all in a circle praying. And as the last one held their head up, as they said amen, the last one prayed, they lifted their heads up, and they noticed that there were puddles of tears all around the room. Because they were not shrinking back from their boldness for Jesus, no matter what persecution may come. And they had a heart for those people that were persecuting Him, to know who Jesus is and how much He loves them and how much they can be freed from that hate against this Jesus that they don't actually know. Do we live our lives in such a way as when we pray that we wake up and we see puddles of tears for the lostness around us? The lostness around the world. I can be honest with you, most of the time I don't. And that's convicting. It's convicting to me. But I think that we don't have to be just like that lady or just like those people, but I think we need to have a great concern for the lostness around us and knowing that whenever they don't know the love of Jesus Christ, that they die and they go to an everlasting hell and they're not part of an everlasting love and surrounded by Jesus' love for eternity. Let's be a part of feeling the need to reap the harvest, because we must not shrink in our Christian calling, and that is to be workers of the harvest. Without the workers of the harvest, all are subject to the wrath of God. All are subject to the wrath of God. We all get what we deserve when we don't have Jesus. We get what our sin gives us, and that is a life and eternity without Christ. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1, if you will, and if you don't want to turn there, I'll just read it for you anyway. Romans chapter 1, verses 19 through 22. Romans chapter 1, verses 19 through 22. That which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine name have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Who's that talking about? It's talking about all of us. Without Jesus, that is all of us. Claiming to know God, but we didn't know God. We were trying to create gods on our own. We were trying to make our own way, but without Jesus, there is no other way. But this is also talking about all of the world. Everybody without Jesus. Everybody's accountable to it. We all have an accountability to the reality of the existence of God and the reality that He sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross. It's not some mythological legend that people pass down. It's the truth that actually happened, that we must be bold in sharing with others, because we must be bold as workers of the harvest. All of us, including this guy. Evidence of God is clearly seen in the foundation for morality and creation itself. But Christ connects us from simply being subjected to this earth without cause to having purpose in the redemption to and salvation in Christ. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to spend some time in Matthew chapter 24, just a few minutes. We're going to read from verse 3 to verse 14. But the point here is do not shrink in ushering in the return of Christ. The first point was do not shrink in your Christian calling. We are to be workers of the harvest. Second point, do not shrink in ushering in the return of Christ. Matthew 24, verses 3 through 14. I don't know if I told you wrong. Did I say Matthew 24? Okay. 24, 3 through 14. As He was sitting on the Mount of Olives, The disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For the nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. In various places there will be famines and earthquakes, but all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs." Verse 9. "Then they will deliver you to the tribulation, and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. In that time many will fall away, and will betray one another, and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved." Verse 14. "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." We should not allow ourselves to mislead others of when the return of Christ will be. We shouldn't allow ourselves to mislead anybody. The return of Christ will happen when all the nations have had the opportunity to hear the name of Jesus. And Christ has not returned, therefore all the nations have not heard yet. This, in verses 9 through 13 here, this does not suggest that our perseverance secures our salvation. Don't take that way. Our perseverance doesn't necessarily secure our salvation. The ones who persevere are the same ones who are saved, not the ones whose love grows cold. In other words, people's true colors shine through in time. People's true colors shine through in time. Verse 14. Let's look through that. We'll read it again. "The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." When all nations have had the opportunity to hear, then the end will come and Christ will return. He desires to come back when all have had the chance to hear. Let His desire for His return be our desire for His return. Let us desire to be a part of ushering in His return. If we ourselves are ready for Christ to come back, are we willing to let others be ready as well? Are we willing to let others be ready as well? I have a story. Again, going back several years, I was in a village in Malawi, just outside of the capital of Malawi, called Lilongwe. And I actually remember the exact date. It was March 11th, 2009. And the reason I remember that date, it was the day before my little brother's birthday. And it's one of the most impactful days of my entire life, and it has changed me completely. So we're at this village, this one small village right outside the capital city, and this village had been reached. The gospel had been there, and there was a little tiny church of about 10, 11 people that were starting to gather there, but there are several villages outside that had not been reached yet. And so what we were going to try to do is we're going to try to show a Jesus film and spend some time, about 3 or 4 days there in this village, and maybe get some of the other villages to come. Well, we spent the first night there, and it was just that little village, but there were about 150 people that came. Several people gave their lives to Christ. It was an amazing thing. But the very next morning, March 11th, we wake up, and the chief of the village's grandchild passed away from malaria. And so they ask us to come up into the chief's house and be able to pray over the child, which that's some theology issues we needed to correct afterwards, but to pray for the child and to pray over the family. And so we went up to the chief's house, and we wanted to see the child and to pray over the family. And once we got there, there were about a mound of blankets about that high laying over the child. A tradition in Malawi is whenever you have somebody that passes away, families from all around that are familiar with them bring a blanket and they lay it over the child or whoever it happens to be that passed away. But since this was the grandson of the chief, there were a lot of people that came and laid these blankets down as a sign of respect. And mothers and young ladies and fathers and young men were wailing over this child, about 7 or 8 years old. Just wailing, uncontrollably. And it's in a small little room, jam-packed, about 60 people in there, and this short little chubby guy was really struggling being in that corner. but just watching those people. And it impacted me greatly. But that's not the main point of the story. The main point of the story is they asked me to do the funeral service later that afternoon. And I said, well, sure, I can do that. I have no idea of the traditions or anything like that, but just I was with my translator and a good friend of mine. He kind of guided me through it. I just speak at one point, and I help carry the casket to where they're going to bury the young child. I said, well, I can absolutely do that. But this is where it got God-sized. It changed the way that I limit God. So they had the funeral. They set the time. And we're out there about 10 minutes before, and the village is there, about 200, 250 people. And as we're getting ready to start, just a few minutes later, people start coming in from all different directions. From every one of those villages that we were trying to reach, people were coming and pouring in to come and show respect to the chief of this village. There were 1,500 to 2,000 people gathered around these village huts on this dirt, gathered around just to hear and pay respect to this child. And I got to preach the gospel to all these people that's never heard the name of Jesus. Through death brings life, and Jesus has a plan. And we got to see several people come to faith, and there is a church in every one of those villages. Last time I talked to somebody a few years ago. But though things don't always seem to work out great, God uses all things for good, even though we can't comprehend them. We can't understand. God is going to work it out for good. Now, the question is, when He's working it out for good, are we going to shrink back, or are we going to be bold for Jesus? Are we going to take that step and say, yes, Jesus, I will proclaim You boldly, no matter where I may go? Just yesterday, if you guys know Bob and Debbie Lipscomb, maybe you heard that Debbie Lipscomb passed away just a few days ago, and her funeral was yesterday, the former BCM director at NSU. And this just shows who and how God can use some amazing people. And I'm not talking about the life of Debbie Lipscomb at this moment, but it was an amazing service, and got to see all the impact that she had had. But at the very beginning of the service, there was an older, frail lady. I don't know how old she was. Autumn, do you know how old she was? Older, frail lady. She needed a cane to get up there. I mean, she was just barely taking a couple steps. And I was getting nervous. I'm like, that lady's going to fall on her face. This is not going to be good. But that lady gets up there, and they ask her to do the opening prayer. And the power that came out of that woman's voice and the prayer that I heard from her changed me. We cannot judge a book by its cover, because the words of that prayer impacted every person within the sound of her voice. Barely can make it to the mic, but whenever she got there, God changed hearts because of the words that He used out of her mouth with power. And I want to be a person of prayer like that lady. I want to be bold in my prayer life like that lady. And I challenge y'all to have that same desire. Have a strong prayer warrior type of prayer life. But if we ourselves are ready for Christ to come back, are we willing to let others be ready as well? Are we willing to go and share the gospel with those who have never heard, or maybe those who have heard in our town 1,000 times, but yet they continue to reject it? Are you willing to go to those who continue to reject you? Are you willing to look silly? Are you willing to be mocked? Are you willing to be made fun of? Then my third point, and this is my final point, and I'll wrap it up. Do not shrink the glory of God. Do not shrink the glory of God. Not as if though as we can remove glory from God, but our lives are to be a reflection of His glory. And so that's my challenge to you, is live your life as a reflection of God's glory. Not as if we can give Him more, but not as if we can take some away, but let our lives be wholly a reflection of His glory. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. I'll give you guys just a minute. You guys turn there. I'm going to say a couple statements. We glorify God with our lives. And our command from God is to make disciples. So let's not make some sort of strange fire or try to be super uber creative on how we do it, aka some interesting methods that magnify us and not God. Let's simply find passion in making disciples according to how Scripture shows us. I'm going to read this and you understand what I'm talking about. Verses 1 through 3, Leviticus 10, 1 through 3. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took the respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it and offered strange fire before the Lord. And he had not commanded them, and fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, "It is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I will be treated as holy, and before all people, I will be honored." So Aaron, therefore, kept silent. We try to come up with all these interesting ways, these crazy methods. Maybe we'll get people in the door to do this or to do that. How do we get people involved? Try and figure out some different method, some strange fire to appease God, to make God happy. But what does God command us to do? He commands us simply to have passion in making disciples according to the Word of God, as Scripture shows us. And this is what He wants to do. This is what He wants us all to do. And I'm wrapping it up right here. This is in conclusion. These are the four things. He wants us to give our lives to Jesus. And I'm not just saying start and stop with walking down the aisle and say, "Jesus, I am yours." No, let that just be the beginning. Give your whole life to Jesus. Let no subjects or objects be in your way. Give your life to Jesus and repenting of your own sin. To believe that Jesus is who He said He is. Believe that Jesus is who He says He is. Number three, confess Him before others. Confess Him before others. Be bold. Do not shrink. Make Him known as we are going. Not limit ourselves to geographical boundaries, political boundaries, economic boundaries, cultural boundaries. Do not limit what God can do through you in your life. Let's pray. God, I thank You for Your Son, Jesus. I thank You for Your Word. God, if there's anybody in here that has not made that commitment to follow You completely, follow You with everything they have, I pray, Lord, that You stir them up in their heart of hearts. Help them to talk to somebody in a leadership position here. Help them to come forward, and I'd be happy to speak with them. Lord, I pray that You work on their heart and continue and nudge them this way to have a conversation with somebody. Lord, if there's anybody in here that's realizing maybe for the first time, I am a part of this ministry thing. I am a part of, I need to make disciples and make disciples and make disciples, whether it's within the service, specifically within a role in the church, or whether it's in another avenue of ministry that the church offers or is a part of. Lord, I pray that You make that evident to them and help them to talk with other leadership or myself here. Lord, if there's anybody here that's not a member of this church and that You're wanting to have them become a member of the church, I pray that You bring them down. There will be people to receive them. But God, above all these things, I pray that You are glorified this morning through this service and as we leave here today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Is there anybody here that needs to make a decision this morning? It's open. Come down. I can talk to you. There'll be a deacon that can talk to you. Guys, feel free to stand.